God, thank you for today. Thank you for your presence. God, thank you for your goodness and kindness that God, radiates into our lives. God, fill us with your spirit. God, may your words be sweet, God, to our souls. God, we pray that you would be effective today, God, in glorifying yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot going on right now, but I think we can probably agree that what dominates our news is the war, you know, in Ukraine. And because of the war, I think we can see that the supply of oil. Could you just keep the door not completely closed? Or maybe prop a chair there or something. Thank you, I appreciate that. So I don't know if there's a shortage of energy, but I believe energy is getting expensive. So there's, I was at Costco the other day, and they were advertising solar energy. They're trying to sell me solar panels, installing solar panels. And with the price of oil going the way it is, or the gas, you know, you just kind of think about, wow, you know, maybe I need solar panels, you know? And so I'm kind of thinking about that. I was thinking about that as I was thinking through our sermon series on the attributes of God. And the first thing we'll tackle today is that God is light, the light of God. Scripture says that God is light. And we want to begin to dive into that because there's a lot of talk right now about, you know, energy, renewable energy, you know, climate change, a lot of conversation around all of that. But I was just thinking about that. I think most of the energy we use and the energy that we get is really solar energy, isn't it? I mean, the sun shines on the plants, the animal eats the plants, we eat the animals, we eat the plants. I mean, it's really solar energy, isn't it? It gives life to all living things. I don't know of any. We'll see, maybe perhaps there is some exception, perhaps. But we'll dive into, you know, just this idea that God is light and the idea that we are children of the light, you know. And what does that mean, that we are children of the light? And I know that since God is light, you know, and we're children of the light, you know, but we want to dive into that and begin to understand that a little bit. And then we're going to see there's light the way we know it now that gives us sight. We see, like I look out there and I see you guys. I think it's the way you guys, you know, look like. I don't know if Robert sees you guys this way I see. I don't know if Cousin Andrew is as handsome as the way I see it, if everybody else sees the same thing, you know? I just, you know, but it is what gives us sight, and there seems to be some objectivity, you know, when we shine the light on it. Koreans have a word like yunki, you know, this glow, you know, in your young age that's, is there, and as you get older, it like seems to disappear, this shine. Anyways, we'll talk about a little bit of that, about light and how it gives us sight. Well, let's take a look at 1 Timothy 6:15 and read what Paul says about one of God's attributes. It says, "He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." So, it's an interesting, he is unapproachable. You know, kind of, I mean, you can kind of get it. You know, I think you guys can, some of you or most of you can probably take the mental leap and say, yeah, the sun, you know, you can't look directly into the sun. You know, it's not like you can go to the sun and take samples to see what the sun is really like. It's unapproachable. It's a source of light. You know, the moon's not the sun. You can land on the moon, you know. It gives off light, but it gives off the light from the sun. It reflects the light. You know, same thing with planets. Sometimes I can see Mars. You know, we're all planets. There's only one sun. You know, the idea is the best we can do is to be a reflector of the true source of light. God is this otherworldly source of light. You know, God doesn't need us to be the sun. You know, he doesn't want you to be the best version where you're radiating your own glory. I think we talked about that when we talked about God's holiness. There's only one God. There's only one sun in the universe from that perspective. So it's okay that we're all planets. He is the light. Let's take a look at Exodus 33. This is the request that, you know, Moses has of God. He wants to see the glory of God. Something in Moses is just, you know, wants to see the glory of God. Well, let's dive in. Moses said, "Please show me your glory." There's just something in Moses. It's like a tree calling out for the sun. And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." So the glory is the goodness of God that is manifesting. You know? So God doesn't, you know, he doesn't say, "I will make my glory pass." He uses words interchangeably. And you'll see that all my goodness is also his name, which is his glory. And it's radiating. So he says, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and proclaim before you my glory." No, he says, "my name," which is also my goodness. The Lord, which we translate Lord, but if it's in all caps, it's Yahweh. "And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." So you can't stare at the sun. Can't. You can enjoy the light that comes off of it. Okay? But you can't look at the sun. Is I think what? So I think there is this association with light, glory, goodness, and the attributes of God, which light appears to be, right? The attributes, the goodness, all the goodness of God. So let's take a look at the light of one fellowship. Okay? What I mean by that is that when we say God, we're talking about three persons, but you can't say we worship three gods. That's blasphemous. It's blasphemous. Jesus was a monotheist. He says there's only one God. And then yet, at the same time, he claims to be God, and he claims to be from the Father. There is no identity in Christ that is as an individual. His identity is that of the Trinity. It's a collective identity. And the idea that light is not an individual quality. Now we'll take a look at it. Exodus 34. All right. So this is Moses asks to see the glory of God. God says, yes, I will manifest all my goodness in the name of God. And then the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with them there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Now, he's not just talking the talk here. When he says, I am merciful and gracious, and Moses gets to see that, what Moses gets to feel and know is that God is not just talking the talk. He's going to make Moses go, he's going to command Moses to do some things, and then he will not only understand, but he will see and experience the merciful and the gracious, okay? And he will also experience this word hesed, which is that covenant loyal. If God is anything, he says, I'm loyal. He's never disloyal. If we're grumbling, God, where are you? You know, if we complain is really saying, God, you're not faithful or loyal. Like my circumstance is either you're impotent or you're out of control. This is beyond you, God, because I'm in pain. And we'll see, pain, if anything, is a dark place. Pain is a dark place. And we'll go over that a little bit later, towards the end. Okay, so it says, God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. When God finishes his attributes, Moses falls to the ground on his face and he says, God, I'm ignorant, really. I'm stiff-necked. I'm nothing. You know? Sometimes you say, Henry, you get to know Henry, you know, Henry is, I don't know, you can say he's kind, but there are times you might experience, you're not so kind, you know? Sometimes his word not be all that, you know, kind. And you talk to my family, they'll give you, you know, an earful. The point is, God's not like that though, is he? Your experience of God, that experience, that the fact that Moses is the recipient of the glory of God is the most privileged thing that Moses, honestly, has ever and will ever experience. The fact that, because think about, and as we see, there are creatures who don't thrive on the light of God. And there are creatures that do. John 1, we'll see that a little bit later. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we're talking about words here. So you can see, like, even when God says, I will show you my glory, and it says, I will proclaim my name, right? Light and words are interchangeable. Scripture uses it interchangeably. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. So John chapter 1 is really talking about the light of God. And I've underlined the word light so you can understand, because even the word of God is the light of God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was part of creation. He was one with God when the universe was being created. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Understand that now. So life is also light, right? Which is also word. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him he was not the light. Now try to understand this, okay? How do you describe light? How do you describe light? Like before they, you know, it's a wave. I mean, you know, I mean, what does that mean? Light is a wave. You know, photons. No, it's a particle. It's got photons in it. And, but how do you describe and witness about the light other than the fact that look what it does? He's trying to point out what the light is clarifying, what the light is showing. He comes as a witness to that light, right? Which is Jesus. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Here we get this first sent. He is light. We're going to be the children of light. I remember, you know, when I was probably, you know, I think sixth grade. A lot of things happened in sixth grade, right? In Woodbridge, Virginia. And I was mischievous and had a couple of friends. Actually, it was just one guy, right? And he was wicked. He loved toilet papering houses. He loved throwing eggs at cars. He loved it. Like, you can tell he was all giggly. There was no moral barrier there. He was creative too. You have a cat, right? Let's go to your litter, take cat poo, put it underneath the doorknobs of these cars, and let's watch them open the car doors. Like, man, you're like pretty evil, you know? And I was like, there's only so much, like, it was really uncomfortable. Part of it is, you know, I got saved when I was in sixth grade. And I knew that I felt so uncomfortable. I knew I was different. You know, like I couldn't enjoy the same things that this guy enjoyed. I remember even in high school. Now, I only went to church for like a year and a half maybe, when the bus came around to pick us up. And I remember when I got into that bus, there was something in that bus. There was something in that church. As a sixth grader, without any pushing from my parents, I went to Wednesday night service and I went to Sunday night service. I felt like I was in my father's house. Honestly. You know, I just knew that this was, you know, I felt like for the first time, the son, like I knew that something was different. I felt at home. I would even say amens. I didn't even know what I was talking about, you know, but it was a Baptist church. You know, amen, brother. You know, if you can imagine a sixth grade kid sitting on the front row saying, amen, brother. That was me. Right? Now, a lot of that was just, you know, pretend stuff because I didn't know what I was talking about. But I just felt at home. I knew I was different. There's just no, you're either a creature who lives off of the light or you're a creature who lives off of the darkness. Now, you might be a tree planted in a shade. You know, you might not be thriving, but you're a children of light. But then there's children of darkness. You know, don't want the light. Put me in the shade along with the fungus, right? Goes on to say, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have what? Seeing his light? No, we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father. And here it is, full of grace and truth. So, the light of God is the glory of God. Right? God is radiant. And it gives shape to everything. We'll talk a little bit more about that. John 3:19. This is how he describes the coming of Jesus. Right? It says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world and people love the darkness. People were creatures of darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. They didn't want to be in the light. You know, church is like, a little bit too suffocating, commitments, too much. And, you know, because their works were dark. That's what evil is. Evil is just the absence of light. There is not, it's evil is not an entity. It's what happens when night no longer shines and you're feeding off the darkness. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light. And I think for a lot of you who are sitting there, am I like that person who's struggling? I'm of the light. It's just hard. It's hard. But like, or am I pretending to be a light creature, but I'm really of the dark? Do I like hanging around with people who love the dark? And who hate the light? That's why, you know, like the best way to get to know people is get to know their friends. Singles, right? Stalk not the person you're interested in, but stalk the person, stalk their friends, okay? Stalk their friends. What kind of people are they? You'll get to know them. Trust me on that. Birds of a feather flock together. Okay. Okay. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Like we love the light. We want to be in the light. Look, the church that I went to on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights and Sundays and loved being in the bus, it was a racist church actually. And the bus, the couple that came to pick me up, tried to convince me when I was in sixth grade that interracial marriage was wrong. I was like, I'm in sixth grade. What do I care? You know? And yet, there was enough people in that dysfunctional church that gave off some light. It was all I had, right? You know? And when you don't have any light, and you lived apart from the light, and you're a creature of light, you just want to be next to the light. Okay. You want to turn off the light there, Paul, for a second? I've shown this picture before, but these are creatures of darkness. All right? Now, I was going to put, you know, another slide, like tropical fish, you know, the creatures of the light. Right? They're so pretty. Right? They are. But why is that? Why do they look so? You know what I mean? You gotta wonder, God, are you saying something? Right? They could have been pretty. They could have been, oh, they're so attractive. No, they're not. But what are you? Are you a child of the light? 1 Thessalonians 5:5-8 says, for you're all children of light. Talking to it, children of the day. We're not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night, not during the day. You know what I mean? And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet of salvation. What it's really talking about is, look, let's just be true to ourselves. If you're a children of the light, let's just, you know what I mean? If there's a shade over you, get rid of the shade. You'll be happier. You know, one thing that, you know, We have this magnolia tree in front of our house. And our neighbor told me there was a time many years ago when every year that magnolia flower would just bloom. And when it blooms, it is beautiful. Nothing like it, too. But you know, but it doesn't bloom. And when it blooms, just a few flowers bloom. But there was a tree right next to it that grew just massively, you know? And it was like shaded. It shaded the magnolia tree, you know? And we chopped it down. We did notice more flowers. We did. But I don't know if it's going to be healed, you know, quite yet. But we had to do that, you know? And it was getting too much shade, not enough light. Here's another way he puts it. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. The idea, okay, of the glory of God and the light of God is that when he shares his light and gives it to you, you're a creature who thrives on the light. That's what he's saying. Like you were born again to now look to light as your source of energy and strength and warmth and goodness and life. And you're different. You're just different. And while at times you might think, oh my gosh, you know, like when you talk, you know, when Robert talked about forgiveness, and these are not pathways towards misery. Harboring bitterness. We love, I gotta admit, you know, like revenge movies. Oh, they're like the McDonald's of the soul, aren't they? You know, it's like you watch it and it's like, oh, you feel horrible afterwards, you know? If you ate too much of it, you're probably going to die, but it's good going down, you know? It's like, oh, right? But you don't live off of that stuff, you know? You know, it's forgiveness. That's our diet, right? At first, it's like, it looks like a bunch of salad, and you don't eat salad, you know? But that's our diet. We're children of the light, and that's what we, you know? And when God has given us his glory, he's given us a way to contain it. Like, we harness that, and now we receive that light, we receive his words, and they're not a chore for us. It's not like those dark creatures, you know, they came up a little too high on that surface. It's like, ah! All right? Those vampire fish. Psalm 112. This is how scripture talks about people. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It just, when light comes into you, then being gracious to people, and merciful, and forgiving, and upright. These are things that are, you feel like, yes, that's what I'm made for. That's who I am. I want to do that. Like, at some point, it's like, look, I can only show you the way. I can't drag you the way. And God doesn't do that. That's why we're born again. Exodus 34, 35. The people of Israel would see the face of Moses. Okay, this is right after God, you know, showed him his glory. That the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. Moses lived with a veil over his face. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a good life. I mean, I complain about wearing masks, but, you know, like, Moses was the first. First John 1:5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Hear what I'm saying. You never get to complain. See, he is pure light. He's not like us. We have dark places, don't we? We have dark places, right? We have the, you know, the remaining flesh in us, the old self. God, you know, like if something had happened circumstantially in your life, God is asking you to do something, telling you to do something, you know, telling you not to do something, you know, or something happens in your life, you know, you don't get the job you want, you know, you don't get the grade you want, you don't go into the school you want, whatever is happening, and we begin to grumble as if there's some darkness in him. There is no darkness in God. He is pure light. He will always go out of your way, out of his way, to make sure that even in your sin, he will turn all things towards the good of those who love him. Who does that? I can't do that for my children. I can only regret. I can only feel bad. You know? But God, he's not like me or you. You know? We don't get to complain. It's wrong because can you imagine, you know, if somebody was working in the background? I mean, this is some of the K-drama stuff, you know? Like they're thinking like really ill of somebody and they didn't know that in the background they were doing all this goodness for them. And then later on, towards the end of the, you know, the series, they find out. Oh my gosh. You know, that's like Pride and Prejudice too, right? Isn't it? I didn't know Mr. Darcy was so awesome, right? God is that, multiply by many Mr. Darcy's. And this is what we have. There's no darkness in him. Now, this is what he says. He goes on. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, we are now, to give you a little background on 1 John, John writes 1 John because there are false teachers who are in the church. They're talkers. They talk the talk. But they're not very loving, actually. Right? They're not loving people. They're very spiritual, though. Very religious. You know? They'll talk ministry all day long with you. They'll want to strategize with you and talk about church stuff. But when it comes to actually loving people, like walking with people on the ground, they don't do that. They don't connect very well. They're probably not good at forgiving. And so John writes this because these false teachers have infiltrated the church and people have taken a back seat, you know, to love and is all become religious. You have to read it almost backwards. And it would make sense because that's what he's saying. He's saying the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses from all sins. So if you, right, confess your sins, repent, and proclaim him as your Lord and Savior, then he will come, right? And you become a children of light. And then you have fellowship with one another. And then you walk in the light. Which means you don't skip that step. And that's what they were doing. They were doing a lot of talk without that fellowship with one another. Not a lot of effort in that area. But this is exactly what John is addressing. If you're a child of the light, right? It's interesting that, you know, you ever wonder, plants, they like to be in packs and they grow together. Trees are like that. Right? And some people surmise it has to do with the fungus or mycelium underground and this web of things. But whatever it is, if you see a lone wolf, it's probably a rejected wolf. Okay? Because wolves don't live alone. And if you see one of them independent Christians, there's no such thing. He's saying if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If you're a child of the light, you're a child of the pack. That's what he's saying. Because when he gives that light, see what happens is, you know what fellowship is? Fellowship is not the sum of two individual parts. A fellowship of two people, okay, is more than the sum of two individuals. Pastoral care, okay? If I met with you to give 2 days of pastoral care, it's not the sum of those 2 days. I'm very much reminded. Because there's more. We're just bearers of the light. Because deep inside, what we need is the light of God. And what God will not allow and cannot allow is to bypass light bearers and go directly to you only. That's not God's way. The light gives true sight. 2 Corinthians 4:18, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. What we see is what we see. But the light of God gives form and reality to the things that are unseen. You don't see that if you forgive, if you reach that hand out. I had the same experience, and many of you know. You know, I felt like I was stabbed in the back by another pastor. It was a youth pastor. I wasn't a pastor at the time. I was going to leave the church, and that morning, it was my last day at that church. You know? And I didn't want to be there. I said, God, you got to do something. Because I was about to confront him after the service. He was preaching at the time. I had the decency to go to him afterwards. But as I walked up to him after I prayed and I raised my hand, you know, because I had read that story of Corrie Ten Boom. I raised my hand and the love of God and the mercy of God flooded me. And all the bitterness and everything just left. It just was gone. I was filled with love for this man who just stabbed me in the back. I just congratulated him for a good message. A message you probably, you know, need to hear yourself. But nevertheless, you know, I realized the freeing of my bitterness did not depend on him. And it didn't depend on his apology. Because that's what we think. You know, I feel so bitter. And what I need is their heartfelt apology. But it's not true. What we need is the light of God. Here's the thing. When we are injured and hurt, dark spots are formed within us. And we need light. We don't need apology. Trust me. We need light. We need light to shine. And you know what? It's okay. You know, it is completely, but if you see that if you walk up to somebody and you show kindness to somebody that hurt you, what you're doing is you're now, what? Because those windows are now boarded over. And you're just kicking those boards out. That's what you're doing. Now, here's the thing. If you see that, you have the light of God within you. You know what I love? I love seeing people the way God sees people. I love seeing a situation the way God sees a situation. Because when I do that, when I have to do something that after work, I'm dead tired and I got to do something, and at least I have enough cognition to think, maybe it's that moment. Maybe it's that moment I'm going to experience something. Right? Because I see enough of the light to take at least that first step. And when I do, and I experience God, I know him in a way that I would never have known him. I'm just different then. Matthew 13, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it. The light wasn't there then, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Mark 8, Do you not yet perceive or understand? These are like, you know, like the Pharisees, all these people who are listening to the parables, and they're not getting it. They're not getting truth. They're not getting love. They feel good because they're religious, pompous, you know what I mean? Better than you, kind of feeling. He says, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? Jeremiah 9:24, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, righteousness, the earth. You don't understand what you don't see. To allow the light in requires humility. It's realizing that right now, right, what you don't need is a solution to your problem. What you need to see is a light to your problem. Then you can see that God is big and your problems are not big in comparison to God. And it gives you faith that, hey, God needs to be God. And so every day though, isn't it? When we're stressed, the light leaves. When we experience pain, the light leaves. And then we begin to see things. We see the monsters that aren't there sometimes. Or if there are monsters, they're not as big as you think they are in comparison to God. And the thing is, if you know that, and you know, like, and you see that, you just feel special. You feel special that you see something most people don't see. You get to see, you know, if your friends are just popular friends, right? And you're hanging out with people, right? That God wants you to hang, you know? Then you feel special because they're special to God. I love that. I love that I see what God sees. You know, I feel special and privileged, you know, because not everybody sees it, right? Here's what heaven's going to be like, folks. Revelations 22, I'll leave you with this. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb of God will be in it. And his servants will worship him. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. That's what heaven is. You get to see. That's what life is. Because eternity, God will be the source of light. You won't need the sun or the moon. You will have true sight. Here, you see dimly. That's what scripture says. You know? But you gotta see. You know, sometimes you gotta swallow your pride so you can see. If somebody says, because you're blinded, especially to your own faults. If somebody corrects you, you gotta swallow your pride and goes, you know what? God, help me to see that. Help me to see. You know, help me to see, help me to see, help me to see. Welcome the light. Let it color your landscape. And don't try to be so right because you think you see. But if you really see, it'll humble you. But it'll give you immense joy. So what were we saying? Let's summarize. The light of God is the glory of God. True fellowship bears the light of God, which is walked in obedience and love. We see what is unseen. This is our boast. So you see things about this world that other people see. You see that in forgiving people, it's a get to, not a got to. That when you give, you're actually gaining and not losing. You see things that other people don't see. Right? You see the qualities of people. You want to marry people with those qualities. You want fellowship in the light. So this is our boast. God and his words are our light. See, and now and forever. I long for the day, right, when I will see everything clearly. I see dimly now. You know, and you're gonna see it though. You're gonna say, why didn't I just forgive? Why didn't I just swallow my pride and have people speak into me? Why didn't I go out of my way, create the margins necessary to develop those relationships? Why did I care more? You will see how important it is. Because it says what? They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will what? Reign forever and ever. You're going to reign with God in the light of God. It's a privilege. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, every day I start out, you know me, God, I start out in darkness. I need your light every day to shine onto my problems. God, to make possible what I don't see is possible. I need your light every day in those dark places of pain, those dark places of bitterness and uncertainty and anxiety. I need your light to shine. God, hallowed be your name. God, may you reign. In Jesus' name we pray.